Morning, church. Welcome.
It's not so cold Sunday morning. I just want to say thank you to my wife and the team. I think they organized the whole band for me this morning, so I feel privileged. So yeah, I was blessed to have all you guys here, and Carl, to have you back after your little rest. Trust you enjoyed it. And yeah, it's just awesome to be here, and yeah, what a privilege to be able to share again with you the Word of God. I was sharing now with Doug. It was just a privilege this week, because for the last few weeks, I've really felt God put a specific word on my heart. And now he started to expose a few things in my life that shows me that I'm not fully living this word. And it's just so awesome to come to this place in this week saying, I almost felt just God saying to me, Paul, you're just there to give the message. Do you want to give the message? Because it's not about you. It's not about your big testimony, how much you've overcome this thing. It's about what God wants to share with everybody here. And I really trust that. And I'm not saying it arrogantly, but I really do believe that God has shared something in me. And I just want to convene the message to you. So I trust that everybody would open their hearts this morning and to receive from God. It was a few weeks ago, Johnny and I have got into this good habit of taking power walks. Not like the woman, but power in the sense of we're sharing the gospel while we're talking. And it was just unbelievable because... I felt it was about seven weeks ago that I felt God put the word in my heart, just the word veil. So I started researching and looking up in the Bible, and I remembered about 2 years ago, CIS gave us a book by A.W. Tozer called The Pursuit of God. And I read the book and I put it away, and while I got married, and meanwhile we started moving, and I remembered I saw that book somewhere. And so I took out the book and I opened the book, and there was one of the chapters was called Removing the Veil. So it's like, okay, maybe this is something that I need to read then. And it was awesome. Johnny and I was walking, and he's like, Paul, I really feel there's this book that you need to read. And I was like, what book? No, it's this Tozer guy. You might not have heard of it. And I was like, no, it's okay. It's beside the bed. It's there. So I really just thank God. It's been a blessing working through this book and to read from this man's life. I really do believe that he was a man that followed after God's heart. So I'm just going to share a lot out of the chapter, firstly, removing the veil, and then I'll be sharing some things out of my heart. We can go to the first slide. He puts in that chapter asking, removing the veil. He says, what is the chief end of man? He says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, that's probably a good place where the Bible always says, Selah, pause and think. Yeah, it's just such a powerful statement for me, you know. It just takes so much pressure off our lives, you know. There's so many things that we want to do, and we want to complicate the will of God. He says the will for us, that's why we are designed, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But now he says, obviously, this is not the reality in our lives every day. If I just read here for you guys, God formed us for his pleasure, and so he formed us as well, that we can be in divine communion and enjoy the sweet and mysterious mingling of kindred personalities. He meets us to see him and live with him and draw our lives from his smile. But we have been guilty of that foul revolt which Milton speaks when he describes the rebellion of Satan and his hosts. We have broken with God. We have ceased to obey him and love him, and in guilt we have fled from his presence as far as possible. Now, the next few things that I'm going to just share is the state that we as fallen people would find ourselves in. We as Christians today, thank God, are not under that curse anymore, but we have the privilege of walking into God's presence. But I have to share the whole part to understand where we're going today. And he says, so the life of man upon earth is a life away from the presence. Wretched, loose, that blissful center which is our right and proper dwelling place, our first estate which we kept not, the loss of which is causing an unceasing restlessness. Now that, unfortunately, it's a big lot of words, but that's the situation for anybody that does not know Jesus Christ. Because Adam and Eve walked in perfect harmony with God in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered in. That's this revolt that we are talking about. Sin entered in. Satan rebelled against God. And since that day, obviously, nobody could come into the presence of God or walk in the freedom that they walked in. Something had to happen. And they say the whole work of God in redemption is to undo the tragic events of that foul revolt, the thing that happened back in the Garden of Eden, and to bring us back into the right and eternal relationship with him. And for us to become into that presence, obviously, something had to happen. And I'm not here to elaborate on that this morning. Everybody knows about the cross, and we can and we will spend a lot more on the cross. But the amazing thing is just to stand still at the moment, for a moment, and say, that is the event that caused us to come back into the presence of God. That is the event that caused us this morning to be able, when we were worshiping, really to say that we are now entering God's presence. Because the Old Testament paints an amazing picture of this whole, if I would say, exodus back into the presence of God. I think I've got it on the slides there. There's a gap, there's nothing. Okay. There we go. Sorry, it's the blank one I put in. But it was amazing because this picture that is being depicted, Jesus Christ has really torn the veil, and that has allowed us to come back into the presence of God. But in the Old Testament, they didn't have this privilege. As I said before, sin entered into the world, and people basically were under a curse in that sense. They could not enter the presence of God until Jesus Christ came. But God made a way for them. They were obviously the tabernacle. And if we look at the tabernacle, it exactly shows this this picture of people coming back into that place, into the presence of God. They say the interior journey of a soul from the wilds of sin into the enjoyed presence of God is illustrated by the tabernacle. Firstly, and you must understand now, the tabernacle was also not a place where everybody in Israel could just freely walk in and come as they are almost. There were certain things that needed to happen. Firstly, when they went from the outer courts, they offered blood sacrifices on the brazen altar and washed themselves near it. Then secondly, they went into a room which was basically pitch dark. There was only one candlestick which was there, which was a picture already then of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Then further, there was the shewbread, which is also now a picture of the bread of the life, which is also just showing again towards Jesus Christ. Then there was the altar of incense, which is unceasing prayer in the Old Testament. But then they walked into a veil, but then there was a final veil. And behind this final veil was what we called the presence of God, literally. It was not only, in a sense, the presence. God was there. And there, once a year, the high priest could walk behind that veil. There was one veil, and once a year, he could walk behind it into the presence of God, spend time with God. And that, for me, is unbelievable to think about what we have today and what they had back then. And what happened was, now in the New Testament, that veil, everybody knows when Jesus Christ blew his last breath on the cross, there a big veil was torn. And that is exactly the veil that they are referring to. That was that last veil that allows us to come back into the presence of God. And that is for me such a powerful picture this week. You know, just focusing and, you know, just spending time with God and realizing that I've got 100% privilege of walking into God's presence anytime. That is what Jesus Christ did for us. That is such an amazing, yeah, just moment to, you know, pause and think of, you know. Tozer writes here, everything in the New Testament accords with the Old Testament picture. Ransomed men no need longer pause in the fear to enter the Holy of Holies. God wills that we should push on into the presence and live our lives holy there. This is to be known to us as a conscious experience. It is more than a doctrine to be held. It is a life to be enjoyed every moment of every life, of every day. And that just for me, just, yeah, something just shifted in my mind this week, coming to a place of realizing that that veil has been torn, that last veil. And we've got the privilege of walking into God's presence every day. He paints a picture between the various, the churches of back in, after Jesus has died and risen from the dead. But now there's a lot of churches, obviously, through the ages. And the zeal that were present in those churches is unfortunately not something that we see every day anymore. I think, and I really do believe it, I was just struggling with, you know, small things this week and here and there. And as soon as you enter into the presence of God, those things just lift. And you wonder, but where and why? And you can't really explain it, but it's such a privilege that we have today. You don't have to sit with, you know, all these things and struggle for 10 years always. Yes, there's a lot of things that we struggle through with. But thank God, it's such a privilege that we can just come into the presence of God and know that God can just reveal those things to us. And he tells something that really, really shook me this week. He says, there's a difference between a scribe. A scribe is somebody that is just convening something that he has read. A prophet is somebody that is convening something that he has seen. Now, yeah, I don't want to say I was spot on this morning, but when Lachia prayed, she was praying through Isaiah 6. And Philip, you've got a Bible there. If you can maybe just turn to Isaiah 6 for me. I didn't put it on here because I wasn't sure if I was going to share the scripture. But now I'm putting him on pressure. Old Testament, Jeremiah, Jeremiah, one of those. If you want to page there yourselves as well, it's an unbelievable picture that is being depicted here. But I'll just share the first thing. You know what? You don't have to worry, Philip. You don't have to share it here in front. What stands there, what does the prophet say? The first thing he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And that's just such a difference, you know. When somebody stands up here and shares, you know, I could quote this whole book from Tozer, you know, and it would be impressive in one sense. But if somebody stands up here and said, I saw the Lord, there's just something different. And that is what the church is looking for these days. They're not looking for now, you know, for me to come and stand here and give you all this unbelievable information. You know, because the thing is, if you've entered into the presence of God, there's something else that is present in your life. And it just really shook me this week when I looked at that, you know. Now, I'm very practical. I look at things always. I've shared all of this. I've read this book. And this is the reality. We have this privilege. And everybody in this church is sitting very quiet this morning because they're almost like, get to the point. This is not how we all live, isn't it? And that's why I just put up the question, why, you know? But why? I've just asked myself recently, you know, because I do a lot of right things. You know, I go to church and I pray and I read Bible. And yet, the reality is that I'm not in the presence of God every day of my life. We've seen here now, I was just looking at scriptures this week, Romans 8. God just talks about he would never reject us. His love is never away from us. So there's nowhere in the Bible, there's a picture that God says, please do not come close to me. There's too much sin, there's too much this or that. The whole picture is just God's redemption. Everything just says that God wants us to come into his presence. And yet we struggle, and yet there's things in our lives that that keeps us from coming into his presence always. And this book just started revealing to me what these things are. And therefore this morning, as they were saying, yes, in the end, Henning, there would be an altar call and things like that. But this sermon is a bit different this morning. And in a sense, what happened on the men's camp, and I think a lot of you guys can just do it there as well. It's unbelievable when God does something in your heart. But what I'm going to challenge you this morning with is not what you're going to do here and if you put up your hand or not. It's what's going to happen this week, what's going to happen right after church. Because that's what happened to me this week. And the reality is God's presence demands a response from us. Now the question is, what is this thing that is keeping us back from coming into his presence? Let's look at what was the difference between the Old and New Testament. There was a veil, the final veil, before they could enter into the presence of God. Jesus tore that veil. But the reason why we are still not able to walk into God's presence and see God fully every day is due to the fact that there still is a veil on our hearts today. The reason why we don't see it, the reason why it's not so easily to spot, is because that veil has become so much part of us. It's not something like, oh, you know, that guy swore again, so, you know, yes, yeah, I can see why he's not entering into the promise of God, you know, because those things are easy to see. But this veil on our hearts would keep us from seeing God every day. It's something that's so close to us. And I want to pause here and say, it's not something that you do, it's something which you are. And that is why it's so difficult to see. It's something that is almost hidden to us because it's so part of your nature. And if I can describe it this way, if there's a veil across your heart, the thing that is woving it together, that fine linen that is keeping it together, the actual problem is the self-life, the all-about-me life. And that is the problem that we have today. And the problem is it's been woven into our hearts, and we can't really see it because it's so much part of us anymore. To be more specific, just to give you an idea, what are self-sins, self-righteous, self-pity, self-confidence, self-sufficiency, self-admiration, self-love, and there are a host of other things which are exactly the same. And the reason why I'm saying this morning, I don't want you to stand up, and I can't, by God's grace maybe, give a word for each and one of you, but it's so specific for every one of you. And I can't even start there to say, yeah, but in your life, I see this and this, and yeah, it's maybe a bit of self-righteousness or whatever. That's what I really trust God for this morning, is just to come into your hearts, to shine that light again into this area which is totally oblivious to us, which is a total blind spot in our lives, and to realize, but this is the thing that God actually wants to deal with. Now, I must be honest, that's what I'm saying. It's not that I'm walking in 100% freedom in this thing, but I'm here to convene a message. And I was walking with Johnny again on Thursday, and so we're up the hill, and about halfway up the hill, I realize, and he's like, okay, but share your sermon with me, and we're talking, and as I'm there, up the hill, I just realize, yo, there's a massive veil in my heart. And I'm sharing it with him, and there's not really running away from it anymore. But I just really thank God, because there's a lot of things that have been happening with me recently, and a lot of things at work that have been going on. It was unbelievable how this thing was just revealed in my life. Because, just to give you an idea, recently I felt that there's a lot of pressure at work, and there's a lot of pressure to perform, and targets I need to be hit, and so forth. And now on the other side as well, there's a lot of things that, you know, I felt in the church, like God is challenging me with, what kind of standard do I want to live? I felt that if you want to give a good sermon, you could probably just do this, you know, just ask yourself, you know, it's easy for me to stand here in front and say, God is faithful, God is my provider, you know, but the question is, you've got to define that. Because if I drive with a car that can get me from here to the house, is God still my provider? Amen. I would hope everybody would say that. But if I drive with a car that is 20 times more expensive than that car, yes, he's still my provider, but where's your barrier? What according to you is God providing? You know, if he gives you that car that just brings you to here this morning, are you going to say, yes, Lord, you're not really providing? You know, God, you're not really faithful because, you know, the other car that stood beside me. Anyway, that's not the sermon. That's just something that has been going on in my heart this last few weeks. But now, you must understand, now there's work pressure. Now work is what's going to give me all these natural things that I really like. The nice car and all these other things and the holidays and. The point that I'm not trying to make this morning, I don't want to say to you, quit your job, stop focusing on money. That's not the point that I want to make, not at all. I'm just sharing from my personal life to help you explain what this veil is so many times in our own hearts where we can't see it. The problem was, I was focusing so much on these natural things, on my car and on this and in the work and so much. So the devil was keeping me occupied the whole time with a lot of fear in my life. Because obviously, you know, it's a bit intimidating of thinking, yo, Lord, but, yeah, we were just speaking yesterday again, and Henning, you were sharing about the planes that were being shot down, and there's a lot of things going on in the world, and then I would sit there, because I'm in the property business as well, and every other week is just, sure, where am I going to buy a house, you know, life is tough. It's so small-minded and so, you know, narrow thinking, and I'm just speaking absolutely about myself at this moment, and I just realized God started challenging me with these things. But what I want to share is the devil, you know, what he did, what he could get right in my life is that he could keep me distracted to get so focused on these fears that I actually started going and saying, yes, Lord, but if I need to give a big donation, I will do it. Because I felt that's going to change this whole situation in my heart. You know, if I give away a lot of money or if I even sell my car, I don't even want to think about it. But, you know, sell your car, then I would. The problem is that wouldn't have solved the root in my life. The car wasn't the problem in my life. And as I was walking with Johnny, I just realized God telling me, keep the car, but can we speak about this other thing? And then I just sank, and I was like, no, I don't. I knew you were going to get there. And that's the problem, you know. It's these other things that I want to talk about this morning. It's not the car or the whatever. And I want to share just a little bit out of Abram's life. And I really felt like Abram almost in a sense, and God challenging me with that. Did God really want to kill Abram's son? Did he want to say, well, you know, your relationship with your son has just gone so far that I want to remove him? No. God wanted to remove Abram's son from the throne room in his heart. God said, I want to reign unchallenged in your heart. And the thing, yes, you're a very rich man, because Abram was a very rich man. But yet his son was all that he had. That was the most important thing in his life. And when I was praying this week, I just really felt that God was showing me a picture. And that's what I was doing recently. You know, I would tell God, okay, Lord, I know that you feel that I must sacrifice this and this thing. And then that's the thing. Abram was in a situation. He didn't have 20 options. He had two options. Either sacrifice my son or not sacrifice my son. Either be obedient to God or not be obedient. There was no half measures. You can't half sacrifice your son, you know, just the legs or whatever, you know. You had to sacrifice his son. And that was so challenging for me this week because I really felt, as Christians, we so many times do this, you know. We tell God, okay, Lord, you say that I'm a sacrifice. And that's why I borrowed a little much sheep this morning. If you can't see it, there's a sheep on the piano. Anyway, the point is it shouldn't be that clear. And that's so many times what we do in our lives. You're like, Lord, I'll give up everything. And as Abram didn't know about that sheep, but as he came to the top, God said, it's okay, there's a sheep in the corner. You don't have to sacrifice your own son. But isn't it how we, you know, I think Abram had to be around the corner before he could see that sheep. But we as Christians so many times say, Lord, I'll sacrifice, you know. Because you've already seen the sheep, you know, you're like already, and then you'll do it. But I think that's the thing, and that's what I want to come to this morning. How do we remove this veil from our hearts? How do we come to a point of saying, Lord, I'll give it over? Because as well this morning, that's what I'm saying. My sermon can't change you this morning. I can give you such a powerful sermon. You can go, amen, that was so amazing. But the thing is, that's not going to change you. In that sense, I've got bad news for you this morning. Because the reality is, if you want to remove this veil in your heart, there's one thing, and it's obedience to God. God is going to reveal specific things to you, and you've got to stand up, and you've got to go and do those things. And that's what I wanted to share about the men's camp. There were one or two things, and I was praying with Nadia as well, and Sias told us, God has revealed something to you, share it with the person next to you, and he must keep you accountable that you should do it. Ish. Huh? Now that's tough. You know, those things that's so deep in our hearts that, you know, you don't even want to share it with somebody. Now I've got to share it with somebody, and he's going to keep you accountable, but you said you're going to do X, Y, Z. Have you done it? Yeah. And, another good example also to do with sheep's. Just explaining this whole example of, let me just do this. Oh, I am a lawyer, but I never get to court, so I don't talk that lot. So people think I'm a lawyer and I talk a lot, but I never get to court, so I just do paperwork. So that's why I still get tired when I have to talk. But there was another example in the Old Testament of somebody that had this thing in his heart, but wasn't obedient. Saul was the king of Israel, I think. Let's see. Anyway, the king of the Jews. And he had a situation where the prophet came to him and said, go and wipe out that nation. Not one child, not one wife, not one man. Nothing should be left. Totally wiped out. Not even any of the gold, not any of the animals should be spared. Because the thing is, they've been a prosperous nation up to that point. It's not like God said, go and wipe them out. You know, you've got nothing, but I still want you. They were actually a prosperous nation at that point. But God asked them to go and wipe out the whole nation. So what does Saul go and do? He goes, he destroys them totally, but he keeps the king of the enemies. And secondly, he keeps all the fattened calf and all the best of the best. The rest he destroyed, you know. You know, if there was fraud poike or whatever, he said, no, man, take it out, destroy. But the fattened calves, you know, please keep them. And that's where that scripture comes from, where the prophet comes to him and Saul's like, yes, it's been fantastic, and we destroyed everything. And then the prophet just asks him one thing, what is that bleating in my ears? You know, what am I hearing there in the back? Because the fact is, it was all the sheep, and he was just exposing that thing in his heart. And there the scripture comes from, obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's what I've just realized in my life as well these few weeks. I wanted to sacrifice, and Lord, I'll give up this. He's like, no, you can keep that. Just want to talk about this. Yoch, and it's tough, word, because it's that thing that's so close to home. It's that thing that you've almost not even shared with somebody else. It's that thing in the dark rooms of your heart that God wants to touch and say, but I really want to touch this. But you know what? I want to get you excited because that's where life lies. That's the only place where life lies, when you start allowing God to come and change those things in your heart. I want to just read a scripture to you, and I'm not going to preach a lot longer, because I really trust God that, you know, I'm just trusting God that something in your hearts would be moved this morning. And like I said, I can't, I don't want to preach a sermon that's going to take all the selves, the self-righteous and through. You're going to be here this whole day as well, but that's not the point. James 4, I was reading it this week, and I was in a situation in work, and I was almost denying the whole thing again. And as I read that scripture, the light just went on again in my heart. And I trust maybe for one or two of you, it would do the same this morning as well. If you could put up the scripture, it is up there. Let's read together. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous for what the others have, and you can't possess it. So you fight and quarrel to take it from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole motive is wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. Now, once again, that is a whole sermon on its own. That's just something that has just been ripping through me this last few weeks of standing still at that fact, you know. John declares that if you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, that again is just, you know, portions of scripture that we almost want to read, but not take that literal, you know. It's not, you know, Paul, you need to interpret it. And in fact, the certain scriptures are just saying what they are saying. I love Cornelius Becker. He said, you know, a lot of people want to redefine the fear of God. You know, in Hebrew, fear means fear. It's what it is. You can't redefine it. And that's a lot of times what we do, you know, with scripture. We want to almost twist it our way and twist it this way and fits into a mold. Okay. But I want to challenge you this morning, and that's just what the challenge that I'm sitting with. Scripture needs to define in our lives what Scripture says, not what we say. Because the truth will set you free and nothing else. Let's read on. It says, I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. What do you think the Scripture says when it says the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires. As the Scripture says, God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. The reason why I'm sharing the scripture is because I can't give you a full answer this morning, but I want to give you a few keys. And I really do believe James is giving us a good picture of how to start this process in our lives. Even though you are realizing certain things in your life, God is still calling after you. John Bevere has such an amazing teaching on this. He says, draw close to God and he draws close to you. Who starts the drawing close to God? We do. We start this whole process. A lot of you are sitting and waiting, but God, why aren't you pitching in my situation and why aren't you here? But God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And a lot of us just need to start saying, I'm just going to put everything aside and start drawing near to God. And it's unbelievable. He says, you know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So another place in your heart is just to say to God, Lord, but isn't there a bit of pride? Isn't there something that is creeping out? And I almost forgot a point that I wanted to share. I want to share this morning a big thing for me as well, is that these things that I've said, we've been kept so busy with a lot of other things, fears or whatever in our lives. It might not only be fears, it might be distractions in your life. It might be something that is very nice, but it is a distraction nonetheless. And I really want to trust this morning that there's certain people that I do feel that in this week, it's very nice for me to share this morning, but if God has been showing you, for example, in regards to offense towards a brother, I really trust God, even if you've given the offense or if you've taken the offense, it doesn't matter. If you're sitting here this morning and you're one of those two people in either side, the one that's given or received, I want to challenge you, go and sort it out this week. Go and tell somebody what's the situation, how you feel in your heart, and I really trust God that it will be, and I'm not saying it needs to be resolved. It's a lot of times a process. But I trust God this morning. Go and sort it out. Don't hide about it. Don't dance around it. Go and sort it out. I just want to finish the scripture here in James. It says, let there be tears for the wrong things that you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. When you bow down and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. So, yeah, I just really, if there's one scripture that you can take home to start this process in your heart, it's in James. And it just gives a beautiful picture of the fact that God really wants us to draw close to him. But in the same sentence, he gives us this big warning about the things that are going on in our hearts. Jeremiah 2:13, it says that my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken the spring of living water. Now, that's why I almost want to draw it through to my sermon this morning, is to say that that spring of living water is the presence of God in our lives. Because that's what keeps us going every day. As we were praying before, and it's just so amazing for me, there's nothing bigger than Jesus. There's not a bigger revelation. I cannot come here this morning and tell you, my church, you know, we have got the new thing. There's nothing like that. Since 2,000 years ago, the new thing is Jesus Christ. There's not going to be anything newer than that. Let me just tell you, when churches tell you they've got the new revelation, there is nothing bigger than Jesus Christ. But obviously, how we experience it and how we live out, that is totally different. And the presence of God is something that needs to be renewed every day in our lives. And it's so beautiful. I know there's one guy that also, yeah, he's got an amazing art for worship. And he says, you know, you can gaze upon the Lamb, the Holy of Holies, and it just gets more beautiful, and it's just more great. It's not like you're going to enter into worship, and this time, it's going to be as last time. It's supposed to just go on, because the ends of God, we cannot fathom, you know. God is just so much more glorious than we can even start to think. But this is what he says. The two sins that he have against his people is that they've forsaken their living water, that place of just knowing that God is your all in all, entering into his presence. And then secondly, they've dug their own cisterns, and they've broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And I think that's just a picture for me of religion. That's what it does. When you don't experience the presence of God, you make your own little cistern that can hold water. So at least to other people, you're like, but I've got water. But God says, it's not that living water that I'm talking about. These things can't hold what I have to offer to you. Lastly, I think this is the most profound thing for me, where I just realized the weight and the unbelievable presence of God. And I can almost end with this. If Harry and you guys, if you want to come up the band, because this is what I'm sharing about this morning. It's entering into the presence of God. I wanted to share it even previously as we started. If you thought my sermon is going to be the highlight of the day, I almost wanted to say the highlight of the day is the worship. And I really want to challenge us as a church. When we come to church, do we almost feel, is it three songs or four songs today? You know, I just hope it's three songs, because, you know, then depending on how long he's going to preach. If your highlight of the day is not worshiping God, then probably the sermon is what you needed to hear. Because I'm guessing if you're not going to if you only want to worship three songs here, I'm guessing two songs or one song is not even going to happen at the house. When you go to work, how is worship going to happen there as well? And I was reading a scripture a while ago as I was focusing on all the work and all the things that challenge me. And it is an unbelievable, powerful picture. Psalm 73. And looking at all the work and all the things in life, it says here, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from burdens of common man. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. And the psalmist just writes here about he's so frustrated, you know, almost walking around. This guy driving with this car. This guy's got this bank salary, and he doesn't even have pain in his neck, and he doesn't have this. And I'm so frustrated looking at this situation almost because I'm a Christian, and he's not a Christian, and he's a bad person. Why are all these good things happening to him? And he goes on, and he says in verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. And that's the reality. If you try and figure all this out with your mind, it's just going to get you down. And then he goes on, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destination. And I don't want to talk a lot more beyond that, because that's why I just want to bless you guys and really trust you guys, each one in his own life, to enter into that place. Because it's not only for a lot of rich people that you get frustrated with. That's not what it's saying. It's the fact that anything in your life, any situation that is getting the better of you, you can't have an answer. I can't give you a knowledge and nice things until you enter into the sanctuary of God. And therefore, you understood their final destination. You're basically just saying, God just opened up my eyes to my situation and everything changed. And the reality is it's for a lot of us, there are a lot of things that are keeping us back. And I just want to really bless you this morning. And as I've said, if you want to pray this morning, we are more than willing, and I really want to pray for you guys. But I really want to challenge you almost, even before you leave this hall, as we now, I think we can just worship. You have the revelation song. But, all right. They'll just worship a song. And as we sit here and listen to a word, and God, and I'm trusting that there's certain things that will be revealed in your heart. Before you leave here today, tell that to somebody. Somebody that you trust, somebody that can keep you accountable. And I want to encourage you, go out and do it this week, because in obedience, That is where freedom lies. And certain things in our life are going to stay there. And I've realized that in my own life, it won't be removed until you take that step of obedience. I haven't got a better answer for you, but that's what Jesus told us when he says, you need to pick up your cross daily. And the cross is a symbol of death, because that's what Jesus did for us. He died for us. And you need to die to yourself and certain things in your life. And I'm saying this, and I know everybody's sitting very quiet here this morning, but I'm trusting that it's just because God is speaking to you. And this is a message that has just been going through my heart, and I realize in my own life, there's certain things that I need to say, Lord, I'm so afraid of the cross, but I know beyond the cross is life in Jesus Christ. There is life beyond it. Amen. Let's just pray together. Your Father God, I just thank you, Lord, and you know, your Son Jesus Christ was sent to die for us, Lord. And Jesus, I just really trust and I just know that you're walking in this hall this morning and you know everyone in this hall. You personally know them because, Father God, you formed them. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you just come and open up. You just come and take a spotlight and you put it on people's hearts right now. Thank you that you are the one that does the work. Thank you that you are the one that changes people's hearts. Lord, we just come humbly before you, Lord, and say thank you that you allow us to come into your presence. Lord, but remove that which keeps us from coming there daily. Remove that which puts us in fear and runs away from your presence. We just worship you, Lord, and I just thank you this morning that, dear God, that you are faithful. Lord, where this thing in our heart just puts so much doubt in us, Father God, and just removes fear, I just thank you this morning that we can speak faith into this place, Lord, Father God, to take on these things in our lives.